Welcome to On the Menu Live, dishing out the latest buzz on the local restaurant and entertainment scene. And now to help you get ready for the weekend in style, here's your host, Matt Russell.
And welcome to another exciting edition of On the Menu Live. I'm Matt Russell from Russell Public Communications on this August 13th. What a beautiful, cool, overcast, drippy kind of rainy day, which we here in Southern Arizona love so much. And those of you that are listening to us on AM 1330, The Jolt, know exactly what we're talking about. And those of you that are listening via streaming audio at www.tucsonsjolt.com can only imagine the kind of fun we're having when we're used to 110 degrees and now we're cooled off to the high 80s. But we have got a star-studded show for you today. And I want to remind you that if you want to follow me and find out what I'm doing and find out where I'm eating and where I'm drinking and who I'm talking to and the adventures I'm in, I want you to follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is PRCEO, PRCEO. Follow me on Twitter because we always have fun things to report in our meanderings across Southern Arizona and, in fact, the world. It is an honor, as always, to introduce to you our celebrity co-host for the afternoon, the sultry sage of spirits, the queen of the cocktail, Miss Jessica Nenedick from Alliance Beverages in the house.
For having me.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, you are a very, very busy woman, and you keep a very busy calendar. So it
is very tight schedule.
It is always an honor to have you here in the studio to talk about what's happening in the cocktail and the beer, wine, and spirit world. So welcome back.
The world of beverages. Thanks for having me very much.
So Jessica and I had a chance to run into one another quite randomly last night at the 2-year anniversary party of Armitage Wine Cafe and Lounge, and our hats off to our friends Lisa and Christian Hanley over at Armitage for a job well done. Was that not fun?
It was amazing. It was a packed house. Everybody was having an amazing time, drinking great wine, talking about food, wine, cocktails, getting to know one another if they didn't already. A really great group of people at the party last night.
Yeah, and I think the rumors on the street that there were 600 people there last night and a line out the door, which kind of surprised me. I mean, I know there were, I expected a big crowd, but when they actually saw the line coming out down to pee in a pod, I thought, boy, the community really has responded to this concept.
Absolutely. And basically what it was is a party that Armitage throws every year on their anniversary to thank their Tucson guests, which I think is just an amazing, amazing thing to do.
It really is.
Yeah, they put it out there. They put their best foot forward. Everybody was in their you know, best dressed, and they really did. They threw it out through an amazing party.
Yeah, and the nice thing about those kinds of anniversary celebrations is you know you're going to get some folks that have not experienced the establishment before.
Right.
And anyone who had their first experience with Armitage last night, you know, is going to be coming back again and again.
Absolutely.
We had the opportunity to record some interviews. Our Man on the Street segments will appear next week on this show. Well, we interviewed the executive chef, Christian Hanley, the general manager, Lisa Hanley, and we actually walked around the patio a little bit and interviewed some folks on the street about their experiences. So make sure you don't miss On the Menu Live next Thursday, the 20th, to hear those special recordings. So, Jessica.
Yes.
This Sunday is August 16th.
Yes, it
and
is.
And that can only mean one thing. Yes. Oh, I haven't heard that music for far too long. And all of the Maddicks across Southern Arizona, Mad Men Addicts, know that this Sunday is the season 3 premiere of what I think is the best television show on the air right now. Mad Men returns to the air for season 3, award-winning show. And I thought it would be an interesting conversation, Jessica, to talk about one of the things that this show, I think, has contributed to is this resurgence of the passion and really the wonder of this classic 1960s series of cocktails. You've got the Manhattan, you've got the Old Fashioned. Certainly we can't, you know, we can't think that the show in and of itself is going to make sales of whiskey go through the roof, but there are Mad Men cocktail parties happening all week long. What is up with this?
Well, I think that there's a resurgence, as you said, of retro cocktails. And as you know, whether it's fashion, cocktails, you know, everything old is new again. You know, so the resurgence of the Mad Men cocktail, obviously bourbon, whiskey, really big in the 60s, vodka, really big in the 60s. But now we're doing the same thing with the whiskey and the bourbon and the vodka. We just have more options.
Yes, indeed. So you take a look at a cocktail menu at a popular bar 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you might see two or three martinis. Now you go anywhere and you've got two pages of the things.
Well, 30 years ago, martini was one of two things. It was vodka or gin.
Right.
And, you know, shaken or stirred. I mean, that was really all there was. Now you go to the bar and you see lists and lists of martini menus.
Name your fruit.
Exactly.
And we can put it in a martini glass.
You can infuse it any way you want. And that's really kind of the new wave of cocktails. But the old school cocktails, like you were mentioning, Manhattans and Old Fashioned and things that have whiskey or bourbon bases, Rusty Nail, any of that are really kind of making a comeback. And I think really the reason that they're making a comeback is because they're classic and they're tasty.
And that's what a great cocktail makes.
Absolutely.
So when you're thinking about whiskey and bourbon and scotch, I mean, I know there's a fine line. You know, sometimes people say, you know, make me a Manhattan, and they reach for the Jack Daniels, which in and of itself is no good because Jack Daniels is not really a bourbon.
It's a whiskey.
So help us understand the differences then. I mean, bourbon has to be made in Kentucky. Is that correct?
Well, not necessarily, but bourbon is controlled by law. Just so you know, there are laws in America that govern the way bourbon is made. But
I love the United States.
Isn't that
only the U.S.?
We have a law for everything.
Statutory regulations governing bourbon.
Absolutely. Wine as well as other spirits.
Right.
But bourbon kind of hails from Kentucky. But what you really need to realize is that it's 51% corn. And
right.
That's really ideal because what grows in Kentucky? It's the corn.
That's
it's exactly the grain.
Right.
And so, you know, when you think about spirits and things like that, you think about what grows in that area, you know, and that's really where the spirit sort of hails from.
So corn, and that does that sort of contribute to the sweetness then?
A little bit. It's a hearty grain,
gotcha.
As you know.
Right. And so the Manhattan, classic mm-hmm. 60s beverage, it's appearing on all of these menus now. Do you think it's something about, you know, you take a look at someone like Don Draper on Mad Men, who just exudes power.
Right.
And self-confidence.
Absolutely.
And when someone's pouring a Manhattan, they feel good about themselves and good about their surroundings. Is that sort of, am I taking this too far? Or is that,
well,
I mean, at least I know I do when I have a Manhattan.
Well, you know, it's a cocktail. And I think, you know, if you're really going for that strong, like, in your face, just have it on the rocks. But really, to make the Manhattan into a cocktail, it smooths out the flavor. It gives a little bit of a finesse. It gives it another layer, another, facet, actually, to the cocktail. So not only are you tasting that wonderful bourbon, but you're tasting a little bit of that, sweet vermouth. But originally, cocktails were invented to mask the flavor of bad spirits. Speakeasies. Think about it.
Right.
Bootleggers.
Right.
Prohibition. So when you take a cocktail back to its roots, it's really just trying to hide or mask bad liquor. But in this case, we're using good stuff.
We're using good stuff,
we're
right?
Using the good stuff,
and of course the cherry helps in that masking effort. I mean,
right.
I'm certainly not embarrassed to say that I do add a cherry to my Manhattan, and that sort of, you know, rounds me out as a balanced individual. I'm not ashamed to admit that
it's
I put a
garnish.
Cherry in my Manhattan.
But let me take you a little bit from the old school cocktails to the new cocktails.
Let's
and you
do
mentioned
it.
Cherries. If you want to know kind of what the trends are in cocktails these days, what you're going to look for is look at the bartender's mise en place. Look at what they're using in their cocktails. Are they using mint? Are they using ginger? Are they using fresh berries? They're getting away from the standard, you know, condiment tray of olives, onions, limes,
right,
orange slices,
right.
maraschino cherries. So really, yes, we want to use those great old school, you know, garnishments that went with the old school cocktails because you couldn't have a Gibson unless you had a cocktail onion, right?
That's right.
So now look at the new school cocktails, mint, basil. I have a really popular bar in town that uses a red pepper in their cocktail.
Oh.
So
red pepper in the cocktail.
I know it sounds crazy, but it's delicious.
Now, with all these herbs and the basils and the mints, I mean, is that increasing the expectation and the burden for the bartender? Because the muddling probably gets a little out of hand right at around 10:30 at night.
Yeah, muddling certainly is a labor of love. It is a labor. But, you know, these people are mixologists. And I think that you and I, if we bellied up to a bar on a busy Friday night, we would appreciate the extra step. And we would wait a minute or two longer, and we'd be patient for that cocktail. We're not just getting a draft beer, although that would be fantastic. But
right.
There is a labor of love involved. And I think as consumers, we need to understand that great cocktails take a little while.
Absolutely. And speaking of great cocktails, is that when you're thinking about the range of bourbons or whiskeys that are out there, and you really want to recommend any sort of a top shelf, sort of premium bourbon or whiskey that's really going to give you sort of quickly that experience that you're only going to get by going top shelf, is there one that comes to mind?
Absolutely. Woodford Reserve Distillery makes.
Girl. Yeah, there you go.
I'm just saying, it's the official bourbon of the Kentucky Derby.
And I think they know what they're doing down
and
there.
They absolutely know what they're doing. It's so fantastic.
That lovely square bottle that it's, you know.
It's very iconic.
Yeah.
A lot of bourbons do come in a square bottle, but this has a little bit of a rounded shoulder. Again, it's Woodford Reserve, and ask your local bottle shop.
Beautiful.
They'll absolutely have it for you.
Now, you know, Woodford sales are going to go through the roof because On the Menu Live is reaching the far corners of the world. So I don't think that this is a fad. I think this is a legitimate trend.
I agree.
Whiskey-based cocktails are on the rise, and I cannot wait for Mad Men on Sunday. So Jessica, sitting right next to you and just 2 feet away from me is one of the cultural icons in the culinary world here in Southern Arizona. I am very proud and honored to introduce Mr. George Varnasidis from Athens on 4th Restaurant. George, welcome to On the Menu Live.
Thank you, George. I'm going to be here all week.
Well, yeah, don't forget to tip your bartenders.
He's a strong, silent type.
So I tell you what, I have been in Southern Arizona off and on for 30 years, and I had my first experience at Athens on 4th just a couple of days ago, and the very first thing I did was say, George, what are you doing Thursday at 5? Because I want to tell the world exactly what you were doing down there on Athens on 4th. Tell us a little bit about this restaurant, George, and about the concept, and then we'll talk a little bit about the history and about your menu. But what is it that you're trying to achieve down there that inspired someone like me to say, I got to get you on this show?
A few things. First of all, we're going to be celebrating the opening of the underpass that's going to connect the Atlantic and the Pacific. and from where I understand, about 5,000 men lost their lives to make that complete.
Yes,
and
indeed.
A lot of the vendors will be doing hot dogs, hamburgers, fun stuff like that. But as the Greeks, we must sacrifice a lamb. Mm. So that's what we do. People will be coming in. We're going to be carving lamb off the spit and just putting it on the table as an appetizer. So if you never had that, most people in the States haven't had that. The closest they've ever come to was some kind of rotisserie chicken. And that's very rare. Yeah, you usually get the one that's already cooked. So
right.
You're going to get to experience. So if you come in at 6, you'll see the it won't have the head, but we can special order that for you.
So, George, are you doing the whole lamb?
Yes, the whole
lamb.
Yes, yes. We're definitely changing people's idea of what Greek food is. For the most part, they think it's, especially out here in Southwest, they think it's gyros and some Athenian chicken in the mall. The incredible restaurants in New York, San Francisco, Chicago are the Greek restaurants. We take cooking personally. It's our family-owned restaurant. We've been there for 16 years. Chef Andreas Delfakis, who was born in Greece, and so was I. Food with the Greeks is something that you do, and the Greek word is parea. It's what you do with friends, and you hang out, and you enjoy. Good food should be a given. It seems people are always surprised that the food is good and the service is good.
Right.
That should be a given. It should never be, oh, this food is great. You should just walk into a restaurant and get great food. You shouldn't have to say it's great. Like I said, we're trying to change people's minds. For example, I had this lovely party last night. They've never been there before. They never had Greek food. I asked him if he liked octopus. He goes, I've never had it. And I went way out of my way to make sure that it was okay. Let him order, and he absolutely loved it. Grilled octopus is something you see in Greece in all the restaurants. In Europe, it's a delicacy. In New York, Chicago, L.A., in the really good restaurants, you always see grilled octopus. That's something we've never seen in Tucson, along with our baby calamari that's sautéed in olive oil. Extra virgin olive oil, made to order. Mm.
So that really challenges the assumption that people might have about Greek restaurants, is they think, okay, we're going to do the standard fare, and you're going to slice the gyro meat, or you're going to bring the Athenian chicken, or, you know, throw us a couple of dalmatis. But you talk about octopus and calamari and squid. You have something there prepared in the Greek tradition that's going to virtually fit any food profile.
Exactly. We don't want people to even think of it as Greek food, just great food. I go out of my way. I always ask where people are from. If they're from California or Boston, I go out of my way to make sure they're ordering the seafood. We get great halibut. The salmon is very good. We get cabrilla. We get fish from Greece a lot of times, and things like the octopus. And again, I go back to the octopus because it's the one dish when I'm prepping it, I'm eating it, I see somebody else eating it, it just transforms me physically back to Greece. Mm. On the islands, and just hanging out, drinking some ouzo, having some octopus.
Oh.
You know, life
Ouzo and octopus. If that's not a theme for my next dinner party, I don't know what it is.
I think one of the things that you had was that I brought out, I think you had the calamari, but I brought out the homemade Greek yogurt, which is a dessert that you see in Greece. They have it a lot for breakfast, but they have it throughout the day. I use the Greek yogurt from Greece for the culture, and I strain it for about 24 hours a day, put some honey and some walnuts on and some fruit. And it's absolutely incredible. In the days where people are not, you know, not doing the dessert because of the butter, the sugar, the eggs, the flour, this has none of those, and it's better than all the desserts out there.
I can personally testify. Yeah, I mean, you just want, and before you even get down to the honey or get down to sort of that pocket of goodness, you just put one bite of the plain yogurt in your mouth, and it's a mouthful. I mean, and you can taste the intention that was used to create that. I mean that sincerely.
Yeah, the fruit on the bottom thing. I don't know how long that fruit has been there, and I don't mean that, you know, the way it sounded. It's always I don't want to mention some brand name, but. You know, it's like the little details that we do. I always tell people, listen, you can walk in here at 10 o'clock on a Monday in the summer and you'll get dinner. I can be in that parking lot at 12 o'clock because I was hanging out. I'll go back and cook for you. I mean, I would, and I have a lot of my regular guests that do that. They go out of their way to tell their friends, and for them, it's so personal. When somebody comes in from out of town, they're like, this is the restaurant we have to take you to. Because there's a million of other restaurants, you know, you're Italian, you're Mexican, you're sushi. But in terms of what we do, I think we're extremely unique, especially in this town.
Sure.
And even like in the big cities, you'll have one or two great Greek restaurants. You'll have a million great Italian restaurants or sushi or Chinese or Thai. But the Greek restaurants, because the Greek community is so focused on going there and telling the friends, and they're a little pushy. They're called food pushers, and I think my wife coined phrase that about my mother. And I said when we were in Greece, and I said I didn't see a gun to your head when you went up for seconds. So
it's just, you know what? It's just great hospitality. You know, when you're coming, it's just like a home environment. When you're coming into my home, and I want to make sure, did you eat enough? Did you drink enough? Did you have a good time? It's all hospitality. I think it's awesome.
And it's interesting, earlier you mentioned the word guest. And I tell that to my servers. Guest, guest, guest. Let them come in. I don't even have a sign that says bathroom, because if somebody's eating, I don't want that to be, you know, the quirky, you know, the sombrero.
Or the sign pointing that way.
Or gods and goddesses.
Exactly.
Or, you know, the height, the stiletto heel and the regular shoe, which can confuse a lot of people in terms of what their gender is and using the facilities. Our facilities are unisex, so people can... Right. You know, figure that out.
One of my favorite things when I dine out, I love to be shown to the restroom. When I say, where's the restroom? And someone points, I'm like, uh-uh.
Right.
Show me. Just show me where the restroom is.
Right. It's exactly right. And then another one of those personal touches that you see at Athens on 4th is, this is not a, you know, in and out, grab a quick, grab a quick lunch. I mean, certainly... You'll serve a wonderful lunch, and if people are on a business hour and they have to go, they're going to have a wonderful experience. But the culture and the idea and the philosophy that you offer at your restaurant is, we need you to come and sit down and take a breath and relax and just think about the possibilities. You're not bringing that check the minute they drop their dessert fork.
I'm like that bar that's trying to enforce the two drink minimum. I'm trying to do a two-hour minimum. Please, you know, just let this be, because for the most part, you get people, they get rushed by the server, they hover around them, they're still eating their appetizer. Are you ready? Did you make your recommendation? I always tell my staff, get as much as information without being, you know, have you dined with us before? Let us know how your evening is going. Are you going to the theater? Are you going to the symphony? Let us know how you want. And they kind of, people appreciate that. A little guidance, you know, they're going to have their drink, they're going to have their appetizer. An hour later, ideally, I want them to consider their dinner. But, yeah, like I said, people, you know, during those shows, we can get them in and out fine. But now with the underpass opening, people will have a lot more additional time without having to deal with parking again and utilize the trolley that's going to be coming through there, and we're trying to make Athens the international stop.
Wonderful. So. That's great. So there are countless people in their cars right now, George, that are trying to figure out exactly where this place is, Athens on 4th. So for those folks that are going to be heading out to dinner tonight, tell us exactly where you're located.
We are directly west, about a mile from the university. on 6th Street and 4th. Everybody knows 4th Avenue.
Sure.
When we put that restaurant there 16 years ago, everybody was telling my father-in-law, you're going to do a restaurant here? That kind of that caliber? And he proved everybody wrong. Athens made 4th Avenue the place where people can come and dine and go to the symphony, go to the ballet, go to the opera. And we've had an incredible loyal following. And like I said before, great food should be a given. You should not have to say this is great. It should be great always.
Yeah, at a minimum, it better be right.
Yeah,
and people's perception, especially in the States, what I'm noticing: free this, free that. We never wave a Pavlovian coupon. we think our guests are smart enough to realize a good value. Cheap is not necessarily good value.
Sure.
Cheap is cheap.
Exactly.
And at the same time, you shouldn't have to pay $100 per person, you know, to have, you know, a dinner.
Exactly.
There's an incredible fine middle where people can appreciate it, especially for lunch and dinner. They can come in and just enjoy. And my main point, again, in terms of service, women. Women get dismissed in this business. And I've been in this business long enough to realize when, you know, my manager, oh, what are those women going to order? Women outspend men 60% to 40%, and they should always get taken care of, especially that single.
I'm here to testify to that personally. My wife is listening.
Yes. That single dining woman that comes in because the concierge recommended her. Never underestimate your guests. She could be running, should be a board of directors of her company, even if she's anybody, nobody.
Right.
They should be taken care of like she was Princess Diane.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
very much so.
You talked a lot about the setting, and of course it's right on the corner. You've got this wonderful outdoor patio, but I understand your father-in-law built this restaurant with his bare hands.
Everything that you see in there, from the French doors to the kitchen. He's from that old school, from the 60s. He grew up.
A madman?
You know what? He likes to drink. He's 66. Physically, he's 25. Mentally, he's 25. He loves the challenge. He's back there. He works the line. My wife and I came aboard the restaurant, and that was his big move. So he can actually enjoy his guests and be able to go to Greece for a month if he wants and not worry about the restaurant. And he's there every single night.
That's beautiful.
And we sit around and we drink great wine. The Greek wines are incredible. They're the most underrated wines on the planet. I have a beautiful wine called the St. George Skouras. You can put it up against any wine, and the incredible thing about that wine is the euphoric feeling you get. It doesn't hit you like the California or the French or the Italian. Greek wines are incredible. We've been doing it for a while. We're finally, you know, bringing great wines to America.
And you do have a full bar there at the
full
restaurant.
Full bar, cocktails. And somebody, speaking of the martinis, I had a rep. I won't mention her name. She was pushing... No, she wasn't. I hate the word pushing. She was recommending the new flavor, and guess what that was? Bubblegum.
Bubblegum.
Vodka.
It is out there.
And
I'm not making that up. That's what I meant to say.
So you're saying you don't have bubblegum vodka?
No, I didn't get it because that market is
unless
not,
there's ouzo bubblegum.
If you're in Greece, then, you know, 12-year-olds can drink. I don't think it's a big market here. So. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Right. But you have a couple of dining rooms then in the setting. You've got
the Hellenic bistro and the traditional Greek dining room and the incredible patio where I can put a whole lamb on the spit there for you. 20, 30, 40, 50 people.
Great.
Closed on Sundays, but we can open it if you want to do a big party.
Great. Well, I tell you what, I want to remind everybody that Athens on 4th is located at 500 North 4th Avenue right here in Tucson. The number to call is 624-6886, and the website address is www.athensonfourth.com. George Varnasidis, thank you for being here with us. We are going to do our trivia question in about a half an hour. You're not going to be able to stick around with us, but we're going
to
do it on your behalf.
Work.
You go to work. You serve all the customers that are going to be coming to see you tonight. And stick around for Food Network star Melissa D'Arabian, who will be taking your calls at 529-3508. Stick around.
Local talk at its best.
Real talk is what this is.
AM 1330, KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Barbara Hall. Breaking news regarding Saturday's air collision over the Hudson River. CNN's Stan Case reports two air traffic controllers from Teterboro Airport have been suspended.
The FAA says the controller handling the small plane that collided with a tour helicopter was involved in an inappropriate telephone conversation when the accident occurred, and the supervisor was not in the building. A statement says the FAA has no reason to believe at this time that their actions contributed to the collision, which killed 9 people.
The issuing of IOUs in California is coming to an end September 4th. The state controller says there is sufficient cash for the state to pay its bills with real money. More than 2,000 residents have been ordered to flee ahead of a raging wildfire near Northern California's Santa Cruz Mountains. The cause of the fire is being investigated. Across the country, senators and congressmen are hosting town hall meetings on the topic of health care reform. This is CNN Radio. Cleveland Browns wide receiver Dante Stallworth has been suspended without pay for the entire 2009 season, following his guilty plea to DUI manslaughter. In a statement, Stallworth admits he's disappointed, but says he accepts the NFL commissioner's decision. There are reports Michael Vick may sign with an NFL team as early as this weekend. Vick, the former Atlanta Falcons quarterback convicted on federal dogfighting charges, spoke with CBS Sports' James Brown in a 60 Minutes program to be aired this Sunday. Vic says he knows what he did was wrong.
I feel, you know, tremendous hurt behind what happened. And, you know, I should have took the initiative to stop it all, you know, and I didn't. I didn't step up. I wasn't the leader.
Vic served 23 months in prison for his crimes. A landmark ruling from the International Olympic Committee, women's boxing will be included at the 2012 Games in London. This is CNN Radio.
Calling all guys. America's biggest Levi's back-to-school sale is happening now at JCPenney with great deals on all your favorite Levi's styles. Like the Levi's 514 Slim Straight, the 527 Bootcut, and the 569 Loose Straight. All on sale for only $32.99. Plus, get new Levi's 511 Skinny Jeans for only $36.99. The men's store makes it easy to get in, find it, and get going. You can also find a great selection online at jcp.com. Style, quality, and price matter. JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer ends September 7th.
The Home Depot has a special buy on 18-gallon storage totes, just $3.44 each. That's a whole lot of organization for not a lot of cash. Reclaim your junk drawers, find a new home for the off-season clothes, or make quick work of all that stuff in your garage. It's all doable thanks to the 18-gallon storage totes you picked up for just $3.44 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only, while supplies last. See store for details.
Over 2,000 fine wines to complement your meal. Experience the very best. You deserve it. This is Bob McMahon. Join me at my place, McMahon's Prime Steakhouse, Swan and Fort Lowell.
The biggest mistake in marketing and public relations is when people talk about what their products and services do, when they really should be talking about how they solve problems for their customers. That's what it takes to earn public trust in you and your organization. At Russell Public Communications, we work with clients all over the country to develop and implement effective PR strategies that earn their public's trust. Whether it's staging national press conferences, developing compelling and creative marketing campaigns, launching new products, or securing valuable media exposure, Russell Public Communications provides a depth of industry knowledge and real-world experience that is second to none. Find out how to put a Madison Avenue twist on your marketing campaign without leaving Tucson. Visit www.russellpublic.com or call us today at 232-9840. That's 232-9840. Russell Public Communications. Creative campaigns that connect, compel, and convert.
The Danish wine sensation Svend Wine has arrived in North America. Whether you're a devoted wine enthusiast or a casual wine drinker, enhance every wine experience with Svend Wine. Relying on European technology, Svend Wine maximizes the potential of every wine by aerating and decanting in one simple step. By circulating your wine through Svend Wine's patented helix, the wine's full potential is instantly realized. From your 1972 Chateau Lafite to your supermarket find, Svend Wine brings every bottle to life. There's no need to agonize over hours of decantation or grow frustrated with messy aerating devices. Simply attach Svend Wine to your bottle and taste the difference. Pick up your Svend Wine at BevMo or online at SvendWine.com. That's www.SvendWine.com. Svend Wine. Think outside the bottle.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell from Russell Public Communications for another star-studded edition on August the 13th. Let me just give a quick shout-out to our friend Eric Orange at localwineevents.com. If you don't know about it, you should. www.localwineevents.com is a one-stop destination for foodies, wine and spirits enthusiasts, and craft beer lovers who are seeking information about food and drink events all across the area. So log on today to find out where all the wine events are across Southern Arizona. And while you're there, subscribe to the free newsletter called The Juice, which can be emailed to you each and every week. So thanks to Eric and everything that he's doing to keep us all informed on the local wine beat. And of course, I also want to welcome back Jessica Nedenick from Alliance Beverage, our celebrity co-host for the afternoon.
Glad to be here.
So this is an exciting moment for us, Jessica Nedenick.
I know it is.
This is just incredible, because just a couple of weeks ago, after 9 weeks of grueling competition,
it was grueling.
Stay-at-home mom and home cook Melissa D'Arabian was crowned the next Food Network star during the hit reality show's season 5 finale. And this next Sunday, her Food Network show $10 Dinners with Melissa D'Arabian premiered. We're looking forward to seeing her next show next Sunday, and she is here live. Give a big shout-out to Melissa D'Arabian. Melissa, are you on the line?
I sure am. Hello there, Matt.
Well, I can't tell you what an honor it is for Jessica and myself to be hosting you. It's an international press network tour that you've been doing, and you found some time to be with us on the menu live in Tucson.
Well, I'm so glad that you're having me, and of course I had to come by and say hi to Tucson, since that was, of course, my old stomping grounds.
Yes, we understand that, and we also have to say you are a Jefferson Park Elementary alum. Is that not correct?
That's exactly right.
Well, all the kids at Jefferson Park are just screaming and jumping up and down right now. But listen, all we have to say is congratulations. What an incredible feat you have pulled off, Melissa.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. It was a little touch and go there at the beginning. I don't know how much of the season you saw, but
well, I just have to tell you, I'm a faithful watcher, and I really knew you'd win all along. I was hoping, and I just was very confident as it got down to the last probably four, I was real confident that you would win.
Oh, really?
I was.
Interesting.
I was.
So I'm interested to know, Melissa D'Arabian, what contributed to your decision to actually audition for this thing? I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of at-home chefs, including myself, that wonders, do I have what it takes? Am I going to be able to make this happen before discriminating celebrity judges like Bobby Flay and Guy Fieri? What was that crystallizing moment where you and your husband sat down and said, I think I'm going to do this?
Well, interestingly enough, I actually would speak to women's groups and moms groups in the Dallas area, and I would speak to them on various topics that were, you know, of interest to women and to moms. And one of my most requested topics was how I would create yogurt in my garage without any special equipment. So I would have women over to my house for these yogurt workshops.
Wow.
And, like, my house is just only so big, and there's only so much yogurt that I can make. So I thought, well, I better maybe make a little video and email that out to all these women who are requesting this one workshop. And at the same time, they were having the auditions for Next Food Network Star. So I kind of killed two birds with one stone and did my video and submitted it to Next Food Network Star. And you know what, you're right. With my husband and I, we really thought through whether this made sense for us and our family, and it did. It was a very thoughtful decision. It wasn't just let's just throw everything at the wall and see what sticks.
Sure. And how much time lapsed between when you, and I suppose you just sort of sent in a tape, is that correct?
I uploaded it onto foodnetwork.com.
Right. And then how much time lapsed until you sort of got that call? Or how did they tell you that you've been selected as a contestant?
Well, I actually applied the last day that you could apply, so I almost didn't apply, and I heard back pretty quickly that I had made the first cut.
Mm.
That being said, I imagine that depending on where you are in the audition process, probably things move more quickly or more slowly depending on the people's specific timing. But I heard pretty quickly, and then within a few weeks, I had made the next cut, and then went to New York and did my on-camera audition, made that cut, and then a week or so after that, they called me and said I'd made the show. So for me, from start to finish, the audition process was probably 4 weeks. But again, that's because I think I applied so late in the process.
Right, and now you're, there are so many people writing all this information down, knowing what is in store for them. I know the 2010 season, the call for auditions is actively underway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to know sort of what surprised you most when you actually began shooting, when it was down to the 10 finalists, mm-hmm. and you're all living together. What was it that's kind of surprised you most about the process?
Well, you know, when I arrived into the house and I met the other nine finalists and I heard what their resumes were, I suddenly became very aware of the fact that perhaps I was the token home chef who would be going home in week one. I've watched enough reality TV to know that everyone's a token something somewhere, right? And so I was a little bit intimidated. And then when I got into the Food Network kitchen and had to cook for the first time, which was, by the way, hours after we had met, the finalists had met one another.
Wow.
So we literally were, we had just arrived, and suddenly there's Bobby Flay saying, okay, here's your first challenge.
My gosh.
Go. And we're like, what? Huh? I was very surprised by how different an industrial kitchen is.
Right.
And I think you can see that in the first, certainly in the first episode, but in the first couple episodes, how I kind of got in my own way, and I sort of let that psych me out. And I think that what ended up being kind of my turnaround was my ability to look into my experiences and see what do I bring to the table, not worrying about what I don't bring to the table.
Exactly.
And I was able to focus on that and celebrate that, embrace that, and just sort of be who I am. And if that's enough, then great. If it's not enough, then fine. And that's, that's really kind of my philosophy on $10 dinners, is I really am bringing, to the table my recipes, recipes that I've served my own family. So it's all very much really part of my life.
That's great. And so, we were thinking that it was going to be Cuisine Capine, but I think Alton just shut that down right away.
I didn't like that at all.
Talk to us a little bit more about the concept for your show, $10 Dinners.
Well, as I said, before Next Food Network Star was even on the radar, I was, doing presentations on kind of guerrilla money saving techniques, both in the grocery store and just in life and in terms of cooking and recipes and that kind of thing. So, $10 dinners is really capitalizing on that previous experience. I am definitely that woman with, the binders with the coupons alphabetized that, gets like the, hundreds and hundreds of dollars of groceries for, like some ridiculous amount, like $48.99 or whatever.
There is a skill to that.
There is definitely a skill to that. And yes, I actually have met with women to sort of help revamp their budgeting approaches and how they're shopping. So this was actually a very, very comfortable zone for me to be in. And then coupling that, that sort of survival in the kitchen feel, which I think people are going to get a lot of that in $10 dinners, even though the name has changed, you'll see a lot of survival Melissa in the kitchen. But there's sort of like an additional layer of got to do it for $10 and under.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm interested to know, when you're in the evaluation room and they're and Bobby Flay and the Food Network leadership, and then whoever the guest celebrity chef is for that particular week, is offering very personal constructive criticism on you. You sort of took that to heart and used that as a way to sort of dust off and prepare for the following week.
Yes, and you probably have read that those evaluations last a very long time.
Indeed.
They last 4 or 5 hours, and we're getting feedback that whole time. So the feedback is very thorough and very thoughtful, and very constructive. So there are some things that are hard to hear, but there's a lot that's very good. So it's not at all a bashing session. It's very constructive and very helpful. To me, I saw it as the professor telling me, what do I need to study to get an A on the final exam? So
right.
To me, to do anything other than, open up my ears, take in the feedback, and incorporate it, it seems silly. I mean, why wouldn't I do that? And P.S., these people are people that I really respect, and they're doing, what I want to do, and they're the ones who are making the hiring decision. So all indicators point to listen to what they say and then incorporate that and try not to get your ego in the way. try not to get, not getting defensive, but really incorporating that feedback. So
That's great.
That to me, honestly, was a no-brainer.
Sure, and that came through because your confidence and your sort of attitude about, you know, what distinguishes me from the others is I'm the stay-at-home mom. I'm the kind of a person that this show is really made for, and that when that sort of came through in a very favorable way. So we all celebrated that out here. I'm interested to know what your plans are. You've gone ahead and cut 6 episodes of the show.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So what's the plan then? We're gonna be watching you every Sunday at 12:30 Eastern for the first 6 episodes, and then what happens to Melissa the Arabian after that?
Mm-hmm. I cross my fingers on the ratings.
Well, you're on this show, so we're halfway there.
Yeah, right, there we go. if all of Tucson would just turn on their TVs. So the idea is that we do the 6 episodes, and depending upon ratings and whatever else goes into the magic box of programming genius, a decision is made about whether to pursue a second season.
Great.
So from my end, I'm, of course, promoting $10 dinners and enjoying watching it and enjoying watching my family recipes on TV. So that's fantastic. And, so of course there's a lot of follow-up, media type of, promotions,
sure.
And, other events. And, I'm doing the New York, Food and Wine Festival. So there's a lot going on. So it's a very busy time, although I am ultimately in a bit of a waiting position, trying to, wait to see if I get the famous phone call saying that my show has been renewed.
Beautiful. So, that's what we're all waiting for. And are you keeping in touch with any of the other 9 contestants? I mean, that was kind of like a little fraternity sorority, a little community that was built.
It was a community. We do have a bond that no one else can. When you have such a strong, common, shared experience, you do develop a bond that is not really well understood by anybody outside of it. So yes, and we absolutely share that, and we have we have sort of an ongoing email where we hit reply all every now and again, and then on a personal level I absolutely have one-on-one contact with the with a number of the contestants. Of course, Jeffrey and I, we spent so much time together.
Sure.
That I definitely am in contact with him and talking with him, and so. Absolutely.
That's good. And I thought he handled the finale with class. He put on a very, very good show, and he's going to be a guest on this show next week.
Who is he?
Yeah,
oh, fun.
He
oh,
absolutely
good.
Is. So we appreciated that and got to really come to like his story and where he came from, much as we appreciate your story. Your family as well, they're sort of handled this situation where they're without mom for a while and without wife.
It's interesting. I'm really just doing what millions of parents do across America, which is I'm, becoming a working parent again. And so it's not perfect, and it's tricky, and sometimes my kids don't want me to go out the door. But, it's opened up a lot of conversations that I think are helpful to have. I think that for me, I'm raising 4 little girls, which
right.
to me translates into raising 4 women.
Absolutely.
And I want to raise women who understand that their dreams matter, and that, as I say to my husband, I will eat the broken yolk, but, mom still counts.
You know, wow. Melissa, I agree with you 100%. I am, too, also a working mom of 2 young girls, and I think that the struggle day in and day out to really prove to them that if you have a dream, if you have a passion, you should follow it. You know, it has everything to do with that versus should I stay home or should I go to work? And, you're kind of crossing the boundaries. You have been a stay-at-home mom and you now are going to go to work. How is your family prepared to adjust to that?
Well, and like I said, it's been tricky, but it has opened up some great conversations. Even though my oldest daughter is 4, we can still have conversations about how excited I am to go to the Food Network. And other conversations about how they are more important to me than the Food Network. And
absolutely.
They are more important to me than any job. And, the right job for me isn't one that takes me away from my family 90 hours a week, which is the kind of job I used to have before I was a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
So this Food Network is actually a great fit for me because I go out and I shoot, for a week or two, some shows. I do the $10 dinners. I did those, a show a day. So I was gone for about a week to shoot that. And then I, you know, flew back and I was home and I was, you know, yes, I do pull away to do, you know, a radio interview like I'm doing right now.
Right.
I mean, I'm obviously not with my kids at the moment. but you know, it's, for me, it's a great compromise. It's great, and it's not even a compromise. That's not really even the right word. It's really a win-win.
Sure. Exactly.
Because I get to go, and when I go to New York and I'm doing my thing, as much as I miss them horribly, you know what? I also feel like myself.
Right.
Yeah. And that,
I feel like myself.
You
I
have
feel
to
like
reconnect.
Me.
Yeah, you have to reconnect with yourself in order to give your best back to your family. I really, really strongly believe that.
That's beautiful.
And whether that be with a job or whether that be mm-hmm. with however that is, whatever that looks like. I mean, that looks different for different people. So it's not like everybody has to go back to work, and it's not like everybody has to be a stay-at-home mom or whatever. You know, that how we communicate to our families that they are more important to us than any, you know, job or amount of money kind of looks different for different people. And for me, you know what, this has been a perfect path. I have loved every minute of being a stay-at-home mom. I feel so grateful that I've had that opportunity and that luxury, because not everybody gets that.
Right.
And in such a special way, this show is a manifestation of that ethic and that philosophy. So you're doing much more than just providing, you know, tools and tips and techniques for folks to maximize their budget. You really are sort of empowering that message, and what that is something that we can all celebrate, Melissa.
Well, and, you know, you bring up the word, you know, celebrate, and I couldn't agree more. I think that, you know, even like cooking on a budget should still feel really good.
Absolutely.
And I want people to feel empowered when they make a meal for, you know, under $10. I don't want anyone to feel like, oh, we don't have any money, it's in a recession, oh, you know.
But you shouldn't have to skimp. You should really be able to feed your family healthy, nutritious, delicious food and keep within your budget and feel good about it in every way.
That's exactly right. And, you know, and even people who aren't on a budget, you know, I mean, I've had periods in my life where I've been on a major budget, and
sure.
I've had periods in my life where I haven't been on a budget. And it's interesting how I really don't eat that much differently.
No.
And I don't shop much differently. Because that's just who I am, and that's just, you know, how I was raised.
But that really comes through.
It just really, to me, it feels exciting. It feels it's fun and exciting, and it feels good. To me, it feels like I'm being a good steward of my resources, of the Earth's resources. This is just part of, you know, how I feel good about my life and how, you know, the choices that we've made. And this is what works for our family. So I'm really excited to be able to leverage that and put that into some really you know, interesting and surprising recipes for $10 dinners.
Well, that is a grand slam. The show is $10 Dinners with Melissa DeArabia, and you are such an angel for taking the time and for doing what you do to inspire not only those of your former neighbors here in Southern Arizona, but across the world. So our hat's off to you. We are very excited about your future. We're rooting for you. We're going to move those numbers up into the stratosphere to make sure that you're going to be on Food Network for as long as we possibly can make it happen.
That's perfect.
Melissa DeArabia, thanks so much for being on the menu live with us.
Thanks very much.
Wow.
I know.
Where do you go from there, Jessica?
You don't. You get inspired. I want to go shopping. I want to. No, so, I really am inspired by her, because I think that it's true that so many women have such a struggle, not only with you know, work and family and balance and choices, but budgets, and it's just inspirational.
Yeah. Great. Well, all of our listeners will be staying tuned for next week's show. We're going to have Food Network star runner-up Jeffrey Sodd will be on this very show, listening a little bit about his story. So, we have a few minutes left, and we do want to honor the gift certificate that George Varnasidis from Athens on 4th left behind, $50 gift certificate.
Whoa.
Jessica, at Athens on 4th, for the caller who's going to call in at 529-3508, 529-3508, with the answer to this question. He mentioned executive chef Andreas Delfakis. Where in Greece is Andreas Delfakis from?
Where
is Chef Andreas Delfakis from? Give us a call at 529-3508 if you think you know, for a chance to win $50 gift certificate to Athens on 4th. And we'll be right back.
Good luck.
Over 2,000 fine wines to complement your meal. Experience the very best. You deserve it. This is Bob McMahon. Join me at my place, McMahon's Prime Steakhouse, Swan and Fort Lowell.
The biggest mistake in marketing and public relations is when people talk about what their products and services do, when they really should be talking about how they solve problems for their customers. That's what it takes to earn public trust in you and your organization. At Russell Public Communications, we work with clients all over the country to develop and implement effective PR strategies that earn their public's trust. Whether it's staging national press conferences, developing compelling and creative marketing campaigns, launching new products, or securing valuable media exposure, Russell Public Communications provides a depth of industry knowledge and real-world experience that is second to none. Find out how to put a Madison Avenue twist on your marketing campaign without leaving Tucson. Visit www.russellpublic.com or call us today at 232-9840. That's 232-9840. Russell Public Communications. Creative campaigns that connect, compel, and convert.
The Danish wine sensation Svend Wine has arrived in North America. Whether you're a devoted wine enthusiast or a casual wine drinker, enhance every wine experience with Svend Wine. Relying on European technology, Svend Wine maximizes the potential of every wine by aerating and decanting in one simple step. By circulating your wine through Svend Wine's patented helix, the wine's full potential is instantly realized. From your 1972 Chateau Lafite to your supermarket find, Svend Wine brings every bottle to life. There's no need to agonize over hours of decantation or grow frustrated with messy aerating devices. Simply attach Svend Wine to your bottle and taste the difference. Pick up your Svend Wine at BevMo or online at SvendWine.com. That's www.SvendWine.com. Svend Wine. Think outside the bottle.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell from Russell Public Communications alongside the lovely Jessica Benedict from Alliance Beverage.
Hello.
So we've got a full board here. The number of the call, 529-3508 for the answer to the question, where in Greece is executive chef Andreas Delfakis from Athens on Forth from? And we have Alicia on line one. Alicia, welcome to On the Menu Live.
Hi.
First time caller, first time listener?
Yeah, both.
Beautiful. How could I tell, Alicia? So what's tell me what you got.
I believe that he is from Athens.
I'm sorry. But you know what? Hang up and call back at 529-3508. Athens is not the correct answer. Where in Greece is executive chef Andreas Delfakis from Athens on Forth Restaurant? And we have Dennis on the line. Dennis, welcome to On the Menu Live.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dennis. Where are you calling from?
From work.
From work. Okay. Tell us where you think in Greece this guy's from.
I was thinking Athens also.
Okay, well, we got you on the line. It would be a shame to walk away from a $50 gift certificate. Where would you like to guess?
I'm drawing a total blank.
Okay, well, if you think about it, call 529-3508. That frees up a line. Now, listen, we're going to give a little bit of a clue. Just think Marine Corps Anthem, right?
Marine Corps Anthem. Okay, let me see
from the
here.
Halls of Montezuma. Laura is on line three. Laura, welcome to On the Menu Live.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Nice to hear your voice. And I'm wondering if you might know where in Greece Chef Andreas Delfakis is from.
Oh, gosh. I hope it's Athens.
No. We had a caller that said Athens, and that is not correct. But I want you to hang up and dial 529-3508. Athens is not the right number. We're going to go to Kathy. Kathy, thanks for being on the Menu Live.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. So $50 gift certificate on the line. Where do you think he's from?
Tripoli.
Nice. Very nice.
Tripoli is the right answer. So congratulations. I want you to hang on the line because Mark is going to take all your information, and we can mail that gift certificate to you right away.
Great.
Thanks for listening. Wow, the hour goes by fast.
It does.
I tell you what. So I want to thank Jessica Nenedic from Alliance Beverage for being here. Melissa DiRaven from the Food Network. George Varnasidis from Athens on 4th. And just a reminder, On the Menu Live airs every Thursday at 5, and it is also rebroadcast the following Saturday at noon, only on AM 1330, The Jolt. So I want you to hang out for next week. In the meantime, go out to eat tonight. Cheers. Have a great weekend.